The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Love, deep drop. Deep throw. Three Rams are down there, but it's caught by the Packers. Jaden Reed at the 1 yard line. Jacobs bouncing. Gonna cut it outside. And Jacobs waiting for the signal. Touchdown.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Coming after him, Young. Just heaves it. Somehow it's caught for the touchdown on the pick six. What a bizarre play that is. That's McCullough. Wide open. He's got Kraft. Tight end's running with a stiff arm. Kraft scored the distance. Tucker Kraft. He plays the game the way it was meant to be played.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Down the field, intercepted. And a fifth straight game. McKinney has an interception again.
You take your shot. It's one-on-one everywhere.
Pass incomplete and no flag. Parkinson was the target. Evan Williams defended it. And the Packers are going to hold on.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Now live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Lattis.
Bay Packers get their third win of the season, this time over the Los Angeles Rams. And we will be reacting to it all morning long here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. 800-990-3776 if you want to get in on the conversation. Gabe, I think there's two ways that you can look at yesterday's game.
Okay.
You can go, not their best effort. Or you can go, hell yeah, wins win, and they got punched in the mouth a little bit. There was a thought of, like, self-inflicted errors. But the resilience they showed, the fight they showed, I'm taking that to the bank. I am running with it. I believe they will continue building on that. And I am optimistic this morning. And I'm going to tell you right now, I am in camp number two. Because my fragile little sports heart could not have handled it if the Packers lost yesterday, okay? I was struggling. I was despondent. I am in San Francisco on Friday watching the Brewers. I could not have dealt with a Brewers elimination game on Friday and then the Packers losing to the Rams on Sunday. That I couldn't have handled it. So on some level, the fact that the Packers walked out of there with the victory, even though at times there were self-inflicted errors and things that I would like back, I was like, whew. Okay, we survived the weekend with no further angst or issues.
No, there was angst. You're telling me there wasn't angst during the game yesterday? They're fine. This is fine.
I do think they're fine. I think that the things that we saw that we didn't love, they will continue to improve upon. And we had a lot of stuff to get to, obviously.
I'm not
and there's a lot of things
fully
to dive
convinced
into.
Of that.
Really?
Yeah. How many
what
more
keeps you from being convinced that the Packers will continue to get better a la last season, Jordan Love first half versus Jordan Love second half this year?
It's the one thing I'm concerned that's not going to get better is the pass rush. Like at that point, at this point, I don't know if that is going to get better. At this point, I think it's just the four that you're, and they had three sacks yesterday, but a lot of that coming on when they had to bring pressure, when they decided that they had to blitz. And that's when you're going to put yourself in trouble against some better teams. And that's the big issue. Jordan's decision-making isn't very good right now. I don't think we can just go, oh yeah, just like last year, he'll get better in the second half. Like if he's the $55 million man, he's like, do I ultimately think he's going to be fine? Yes, but
oh, good.
Outside of the interception,
but
there were other decisions that were bad.
Don't you think he is still sort of dealing with some lingering effects of that knee injury? Don't you think he is still like figuring out what he can do and what he can't do. Look, I'm not going to excuse the throwing the ball in the end zone to avoid a safety and instead door number two being a pick 6 points on the board for the other team. More points, obviously, than the safety would have resulted in. I can't excuse that. But I like how he responded to it. I like that he came out after that and was like, completion, completion, completion,
yeah, I think
completion,
he completed
completion.
His next 7 of 8 or whatever.
9, I believe, yeah. Crisscrossing over into the second half as well. So I like that from your leader, from your $55 million man.
Sure, but I mean, his completion percentage is still below 60%.
Yeah, but it'll go up, I think, as the season goes on. He was without Christian Watson. He was without Romeo Doubs, which we will also continue to discuss as the show goes on.
Who knows when they're coming back? It's not like we know they're coming back anytime soon.
But even with those things stacked against them, they walked out of there with a win. Is Matthew Stafford at this stage of his game still capable of leading a game-winning drive? Yes. I think we saw it in the 2.5-minute drive that they put together before the end of the game. There was a part of me that was like, Matthew Stafford's going to do this. In fact, my son looked at me and goes, Mom, they're going to lose.
Luckily, Tutu Atwell's his best receiver. If they had better receiving options than Tutu Atwell, then yes, there's a higher chance that game ends a little bit differently yesterday.
So I walked out of there happy. Obviously a win makes you happy. And I'm not saying that you're not happy with the win. And I said, things to improve upon, yes, but I feel confident and good about this team going forward. And you're telling me pump the brakes.
Yeah. I mean, they still have to go out there and show it. They got to still go out there and prove it. I mean, outside of Jaden Reed, Tucker Kraft, McKinney, Josh Jacobs. Am I missing anyone, Joshy? I think those are the four that I feel really good about.
Those are the safe ones.
Yeah. I mean, just about everybody else has got massive rooms for improvement.
Massive?
Yeah.
They're 3-2.
Yeah. And the two times they've played good teams, they've lost.
Wait, you don't think the Rams are a good team?
They're 1-4.
No, I want to make sure that I'm understanding.
Yeah. They have a single win. I don't know how good they can be, especially without. I mean, they ran through it in the broadcast.
Do you think the Bengals are
they're
a good
without?
Team?
No, they are not a very good team. They're just not.
I mean, Joe Burrow threw 5 touchdowns yesterday, and they lost to one of the best teams in the AFC.
Well, and threw a critical interception. Now they're 1-4. At some point, you are what your record says you are, Bill Parcells. Like you can't be. You're 1-4. The Jacksonville Jaguars are 1-4.
Yeah, yesterday was the day of the season where now there are no more winless teams in the NFL. That's pretty great, right? Parody.
Yeah.
Hashtag.
So that's what I'm like. If you are 1-4 right now, you're not a very good team. And they ran through it in the broadcast yesterday. The Rams can't be a good team without two of their starting offensive linemen and their two top wide receivers.
But aren't you capable of saying that injuries are playing a role in that, just as you said? Right, they obviously are injured at the receiver position. They're injured at the offensive line position. So you could be a good team that is dealing with injuries.
Sure, but right now, while dealing with those injuries, you know what that makes you? A bad team. So the Packers played a bad Rams team
yesterday. I guess the question I want to nail down with you is, are the Packers a good team?
I don't know. I want to say yes, but they're not playing like a good team. They are not playing like a good team right now.
But isn't all that matters getting the win? Like, I understand what you're saying. Like, you want to break it down and you want to figure out how you can get better in these areas. I mean, like, I didn't love, this is going to sound crazy to say out loud. I didn't love the decision-making on the Jordan Love completion to Jaden Reed.
Well, either did Matt LaFleur. So if his head coach wasn't thrilled with the decision-making, I think you can be in that camp.
It worked out.
Yes.
It was very Favre-esque. It was no. Okay. Yes. But that doesn't mean it was a good decision. It just means it worked out. So there are things that I think Jordan needs to continue to clean up, but I am optimistic based on what I saw last year from Jordan Love and on a micro level, what I saw from him yesterday, which was make a mistake, make a bad decision, and then go out there and execute.
I guess that's the frustrating part is that you see it, but it's even like simple completions that just go sailing, you know, where guys are open. You just kind of like, okay, what was that? You know, a couple of those early in the game, which is why the completion percentage is where it is.
But also, last week, we watched as he was throwing to the ground, to the ground. A couple of them got picked up and were catches. A couple of them were debated whether they were catches or not. But that, when you're talking about his season-long completion percentage, you got to wrap in last week's game when we know he was not 100%, when we know he was still dealing with, can I trust this knee or not?
Sure, but also, like, I mean, so he's played 3 games. I understand it's a small sample size, but in the game where he was healthy, it was 50%. Right, he was 17 of 34 against the Eagles. So The one thing that I was hoping would be the easiest thing to translate from the back half of last year to the start of this year was decision-making and accuracy. And that has not translated. It just hasn't. He's throwing more interceptions. Five now? Five interceptions in three games after throwing just the one over the back half of last year. And the completion percentage, it was close to 70%. Halfway through the season, it was below 60%. Man, he's going to have to really work his butt off to get this thing up there.
But completion percentage, I understand there is a correlation, but completion percentage isn't causation either, right? We need to make sure that we are distinguishing between Jordan Love's completion percentage in any given game does not dictate with certainty the outcome of the game. So you can sit here and say that you would like your quarterback to have a higher completion percentage because it puts him amongst the elite in the league. But at the end of the day, if you're finding other ways to win, and I could make the argument that the secondary for the Green Bay Packers, as much as you are struggling with and frustrated with the pass rush, the secondary for the
secondary
is making incredible plays.
And
to be fair, the defense only gave up 12 points in that game. They obviously scored 19 because they had the pick six on the Jordan, not trying to get a safety issue. That's a pretty good day for the defense.
If you want to make the argument the defense played fine yesterday, I'm just not buying that because they didn't. The Rams are just really limited in what they can do. Kyren Williams still had a good game on the ground. Another back that goes over 100 yards against the Packers rushing defense. Shocker there. They're without their top two receivers that can really make that offense special. So clearly Kyren Williams was going to be a big part of that game plan, and they really couldn't do anything to stop Kyren Williams. So that's concerning for me. Again, the back half, especially with Jair getting healthy, back end of the defense, I am not worried about. That secondary is loaded with talent. We saw it with Evan Williams yesterday. He got some more extended opportunities. He's fantastic. At some point, I think we have to question who's playing in the front seven, especially in the linebacker space, because it seems like every time that Edgerrin Cooper's on the field, he's making plays, and yet he's not on the field all that often. I'd like to see him on the field a little bit more often. I think that comes into question for me. Look, yes, it's important that you get the wins, and it's important that you start playing better football, because you've got some pretty good teams coming up here. Like if the Packers play like this, I don't know if they can beat the Cardinals.
Cardinals, I think, got a win yesterday, didn't they?
They did over the 49ers. Like the Cardinals are a team that can put up some points. And Kyler Murray can run around and make some plays on you.
You follow that up with the Texans, by the way, who got a win yesterday over the Bills.
Yeah, the Texans are a very good team. After that, Jacksonville, not as tough as what you thought.
But then the Lions.
And then the Lions. So this is you're starting to enter the stretch of the schedule where you're going to have these good measurement games.
I'm going to tell you right now, we did not think that the stretch of the schedule would include the Cardinals, did we? We were not like, oh, that stretch were the Cardinals.
No.
We were like...
You're basically flipping out what we thought maybe Jacksonville could be and just kind of placing that on the Cardinals.
800-990-3776. How are you feeling this morning about the Green Bay Packers win yesterday? They did get the win, 24-19. Did Jordan have moments where you were like... yes, that happened. Absolutely. And yet they got the win. And I think you build off of the second half of the game. You build off of what Jordan Love did after he made some weird decisions, after he threw some balls that you'd like to have back, after they made some mistakes on offense, and say, oh, they did respond. Oh, great. They have it in them. Got punched in the mouth a little bit. Now, did they punch themselves in the mouth? Yes, they did.
Well,
right?
This
wasn't like the Brewers in game one where the Mets punched them in the mouth and they just didn't respond.
The problem I have is you thought you would be able to build off of what they did in the second half last week against Minnesota. And they didn't. They didn't in the first half this week. So that doesn't really carry over. That's the issue I have. Like, yes, he played better in the second half. But how do I know that's actually going to be able to carry over? Because you played really well in the second half against Minnesota, minus the Favre-esque interception in the end zone that you decided to chuck up. Other than that, he played really well in the second half of Minnesota.
And they lost.
And then he played really bad in the first half here. So I don't know if that can necessarily carry over week to week. because he just showed that it doesn't.
I think more so what carries over is the mindset of getting the win, despite not being at your best. I think that carries over. It doesn't mean you're wanting to make mistakes, but it means if you do make mistakes, you can recover from them and walk out of there with a victory, which again is the end result, or is the end goal rather, and that was the result yesterday. 800-990-3776. I'm curious where people are this morning, because Gabe is happy with the win, especially on the road, man. You don't sneeze at, you don't scoff at.
No, you take the win.
You absolutely take the win. But you are saying the way that they got the win does not give you a ton of confidence going into this stretch.
What are our overall goals for the Packers? What are our overall thoughts of the Packers, right?
Got to be a playoff team, right?
Yeah.
Got to make the NFC Championship game.
Yep.
I would love to see them in the Super Bowl.
And yes, it is it's early October. You can't get to the Super Bowl in early October. But they are not playing like a team that it has those types of aspirations right now. Now, again, they can turn it around, but there are some deficiencies on this roster. The thing that makes me most nervous is that front seven. I just keep thinking, like, maybe this will be the week that Rashawn Gary shows up. I mean, at what point are we concerned about Rashawn Gary? Can we be concerned right now?
I think we're long past that.
Because I don't know how you turn that around. How does Rashawn Gary suddenly become the player that we all thought he was going to be this year?
The thing is, he's not even as good as he was last year, fresh off an ACL.
Yeah.
That's a big problem. You did see them trying running more stunts on that defensive front because they are not just beating their man.
Yeah.
Which is, they're having to get creative up there, which opens up some run lanes if you make a bad decision for Jeff Hafley. Because you got guys
stunted everywhere. Yeah, if you call it the wrong time,
right.
Next thing you know, there goes Kyron Williams again.
Uh-huh.
We got a lot of stuff to get to this morning. We will take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. 800-990-3776. Reaction rolling in fast and furious on our ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line. Also, people having conversations on the YouTube page. Remember, you can always stream the show on the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube page. We will get to some of your reaction right after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
It is Victory Monday, and it's brought to you by Palermo's Pizza, Wisconsin's hometown pizza. With delicious brands like Palermo's, Connie's Urban Pie, and Screamin' Sicilian, Palermo's has your game day covered. Find Palermo's in your local grocer's freezer.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I mean, pumpkin seeds.
No. Little suckers. They might be. What did you say before, Jen?
Sesame but those seeds. Are white. Like,
yeah. No, these aren't white. No, this isn't on the outside. This is on the inside.
Seeds on the inside.
Oh, yeah. So you've got some sort of, like,
scrotum.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Chewy, and there is a lot of reaction rolling in this morning. Tone James says, I usually don't agree with Johnny Raincloud. However, today Gabe is completely correct.
Johnny Raincloud.
I like it. I dig it.
800-990-3776. People are torn on how they feel about the Packers this morning. It is a win. A lot of people saying we celebrate wins. We don't apologize for wins.
Nope.
Let's go out to Mo in Illinois, 800-990-3776. Mo, you're on with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning.
Hi, guys. Good morning. Happy Victory Monday, indeed.
To you as
well. I'll never apologize. Thank you. I'll never apologize for a W. I never will, never have. But I'd like to echo kind of what Gabe has been saying. This front seven is extremely concerning, and especially when you take into consideration that the Rams were without, I think it's their top, like, left tackle and left guard as
well.
Oh,
yeah.
So it's like, if there's a game to get after an offensive line, it was this game. If there's a game for Rashawn Gary, Preston Smith and company to get back on track, it was this game. And unfortunately, we didn't see it. So, you know, Lucas Van Ness, you know, Rashawn Gary, I just feel like they're one-trick ponies. Like, they don't really have an arsenal to their pass rush. And I think that's really affecting the Packers, because when the Packers did get any sort of pressure yesterday, I feel like that's when they bought the blitz. They were blitzing at least five or more guys. So the fact that they can't generate any pass rush from their, you know, base line of like four-man rush or whatever, that's what concerns me the most, especially when you go up against teams like the Lions, who have amazing, you know, offensive lines. But other than that, I'm very proud of the young guys for stepping up, notably Kingsley and Igbari with the forced fumble. Carl Brooks looked amazing. So if these guys are producing and guys like Kenny Clark, Gary, Preston Smith are not, they need to start playing, because this is a results-oriented business. And I don't care how much money you're making, Gary, Preston Smith, and Kenny Clark are just not getting the job done, and it needs to get better.
The pass rush thing from yesterday, when Romo pointed out that Stafford was rushing because he had been used to in previous weeks, like, oh, he's got that internal clock and it's going off because he's receiving pressure. And now he's like, well, now he actually has all time. He's got all day. He has to make the adjustment of, oh, I actually do have time. Like, that's a pretty bad indictment on the front four for the Packers.
800-990-3776. Beth weighing in saying, I feel like I was watching Favre Jr. yesterday. Exciting, nerve-wracking, and successful sometimes. I think he will be just fine. Meanwhile, Jerry says, I'm convinced we could win the Super Bowl and Gabe wouldn't be happy about it. Cheer up. It's a win on the road. Take the national hat off today. Is that happening, Gabe? Are you becoming more of a national talent? You're doing national radio, so now you have to look at things through national lenses?
Look, if you think the Packers played great yesterday and played like a Super Bowl team, I'm not going to be able to convince you. Let's take a poll. Did the Packers play like a Super Bowl team yesterday?
Oh, they didn't.
Josh, did the Packers play like a Super Bowl team yesterday? Okay, like I don't feel bad for pointing that out.
But also, it's not January.
No,
it's October.
But there are things that are... Like with Jordan Love, we know he can get better. I hope he gets better. He has to get better. Jordan Love... Full on through three games, if the Packers are going to be a team that makes a run, has to play better, correct? He has to play better than he has through the first three games. Is that a correct statement?
Yes. Okay. I'm sorry. You were riffing, so I was going to let you riff.
Yeah. So he needs to, but we've seen him play better. This front four, man. The best defenses are able to generate pressure with four. How many times have we heard the big guy say it?
I've heard you say it about 17 times in the last week.
And they can't even sniff pressure. It doesn't even look like it's hard for the backups for the Rams to block the starters for the Packers. And I just don't know how that gets better. I don't know how that gets better throughout the course of the season. We're like running out of excuses for Rashawn Gary.
It's so bad it makes me feel like I'm missing something. Like there's got to be some code, some reason, because even the most league average pass rushers are creating more pressure than Rashawn Gary is right now.
Yeah.
Kenny Clark just suddenly hit a cliff and fell off, like one of the most consistent players across the NFL in terms of what he's done and what he can do. It feels like I'm missing something, but I don't know what it is.
It's tough to, especially interior defensive line play, it's like hard to evaluate.
Right.
But I feel at least once or twice a game, you would see Kenny Clark either putting somebody on his
disruptive.
Ass or just like get in the back and like, oh, how did he get there that yes. quickly? I have not noticed. The only time I've noticed Kenny Clark was a couple of games ago when he got shoved on his ass and then Quay Walker comes up and then just gets juked out of the hole. Like those are about the only times I've noticed Kenny Clark.
That happened again yesterday.
Oh, did it?
Things. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I just expect it with Quay at
this point.
Halfway
called a perfect blitz into the correct gap and Quay missed it.
At what point do we have that conversation?
Not today. 800-990-3776. It is a Victory Monday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Let's go out to the phone lines. Lots of folks waiting patiently on the line. Ainsley in Milwaukee. You're up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I just want to echo off the last caller. He took a lot of my points, which was a struggle for me to come up with what I was going to say next, Gabe, as well. But, I mean, I thought coming into the year that we were solid on defensive line. The linebackers are the suspect, and that the defensive backs are going to be a lot better. Run defense, I don't know if Wyatt being out is that much, but I'm going to have to hope that that is the case, because yesterday was not very good there. The snap on the punt, if we don't have a 6'5 punter, I don't see anybody catching that ball.
Yeah, I mean...
Narson finally made a kick. You know, I thought that we were so cursed in the first half, I walked away from the game when he was going to kick. I was just like, okay, I'll see what happens afterwards.
I mean, they don't bring him out for the second half if he doesn't make that kick, right? Like, he just stays in the locker room.
He definitely has to get a place in Los Angeles. Okay? He's staying in Los Angeles.
I thought the Nervous Narvison nickname that was given to him by the broadcast.
By Nance?
Yeah, that was tough. That wasn't very nice. But I think that's the best one I've heard so far.
But it was accurate.
Yeah. From Jim Nance.
Yeah.
The man's a sweetheart.
Yeah.
And... he's the one going, yeah, nervous.
But my reaction to it was good for him.
Yes.
Good for him. 46, good for him. Just start stacking misses. Excuse me.
Whoa.
Good grief.
Yeah.
What a Freudian slip that was by me.
He had been stacking misses.
Narvison Stack Makes. God bless America. 800-990-3776. Reaction rolling in Fast and Furious, guys. DJ in the Saw saying, visited my folks after the game yesterday and asked them, is Jordan Love good? Dad said no. Mom said yes. And that is the problem. Quarterbacks should not be an eye of the beholder thing. History has taught us you don't give A-plus money to C-plus players. Nobody who is only good at their job half the time should ever earn top dollar. Feels like an overreaction.
Okay. I mean, Jordan Love's not a C-plus player.
No. Okay. Stop. We all watch the NFL. Who has been consistently through 5 weeks good? Jaden Daniels has been good the past 3 weeks.
And then
he
wasn't this week.
Right.
You know, the funny part to that, the actual answer to that question, Josh, is Joe Burrow and his team's 1-4.
Yeah.
I would even argue that Sam Darnold, even though there were some moments yesterday where he was not the Sam Darnold we have seen, has been pretty consistent, guys.
Joe Flacco looked like one of the best quarterbacks in the league yesterday. Do we think it's going to carry on throughout the rest of the season? Probably not. He probably is not going to have a job in 3 weeks because that's just the current state of quarterback play in the NFL. It's ups and downs. You got to catch lightning in a bottle in the playoffs for most of these guys, which is much the reason why Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs find themselves in Super Bowls every time they go out there. But
yeah, because they haven't looked good.
No.
Like, let's just use the defending champs for a moment as an example. Through how many weeks are we? I was confused. Football, college.
Well, they play today, so they're through four games. The rest is five.
It's five. Thank you very much. They play this evening. They have not looked good. They have not looked like a quote-unquote Super Bowl championship team. The only reason that you give them that luxury, the only reason you bestow on them that they could do it is because you've seen them do it.
Yeah, you know what? When the Packers win back-to-back Super Bowls, they'll get the benefit of the doubt the same way the Chiefs do.
Correct, that's it. You're giving them the benefit of the doubt. My point is, what you're doing right now in October is not necessarily indicative of what you will be doing at the end of the season.
No, but I mean, you want things to start falling into place and looking better. Because right now, the Packers have a little bit of last year's Dolphins to them.
But I could argue that walking out of there with the win things falling into place. That is things falling into place because you made mistakes. You did not play perfect. And it's very rare that you do play perfect, by the way. I think Matt LaFleur articulated that as well yesterday after the game. And yet, you still got the dub.
They have, again, right now the Packers have a feeling of last year's Dolphins, where, yeah, you're going to win a bunch of games, you got to play better against the good teams. And this doesn't give me faith that the good teams coming up on the schedule, that you're going to play better.
800-990-3776. Let's go out to Dan in Sheboygan. Dan, you're on with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Are you more in Gabe's camp of not great, Bob, or a win's a win?
Well, I think a win's a win, especially on the road against a team that made the playoffs last year without Romeo Doubs. Yeah, I think a win. I mean, I think it's a fantastic win. Well, I mean, this is basically Love's. It's Love's second game back after the injury. He didn't play a lot during training camp. He's still knocking off the rust. His second year as a starter in the league, he will get better. There's no reason to think he's going to regress.
Yeah, but this Rams this Rams team isn't the same team that made the playoffs a year ago. I mean, if you're saying the Packers are without Doubs, is, oh yeah, good for them. I mean, guess who's better than Romeo Doubs? Both Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp. And the Rams were without them.
800-990-3776. Keep getting us your reaction this morning. Don't forget, we have Rob Domofsky every Monday during the season as well. We'll talk to him about that Romeo Doubs situation, what he believes is going on there, and of course talk about the Green Bay Packers. Football season is back, and I am excited to be back on campus with Celsius Energy Drink, which fuels my active lifestyle with their game day energy. Drink Celsius like me and college stars Travis Hunter, Jalen Milroe, Dylan Gabriel, and others. Explore all 27 refreshing flavors, sparkling or non-carbonated. There is a Celsius for every taste on game day. Celsius, live fit.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Can I be Chuck Woolery?
Yeah, Tiny Mike.
Tiny Mike.
Average.
I mean,
no, I want to ask the questions. Tiny Mike
on 94.5 ESPN.
It is a Victory Monday, and it's brought to you by Palermo's Pizza, Wisconsin's hometown pizza. Delicious brands like Palermo's, Connie's, Urban Pie, Screamin' Sicilian, Surfer Boy Pizza. Palermo's has your game day covered. Find Palermo's in your local grocer's freezer.
Packers get the victory yesterday. I don't want to put words in your mouth, Gabe.
Yes.
You're happy with the win?
Correct.
But you're unhappy with the play?
Correct.
So did I just put words in your mouth?
No.
Those are the words that were in the mouth.
Yeah, you have interpreted the words correctly.
800-900.
Johnny Raincloud. Sums it all up.
776. Yeah,
you're happy with the way they played yesterday, Josh?
Let's go out to D and DC. Let's see if D and DC was happy about the way they played yesterday. Good morning, D.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
We're good.
We're fantastic.
Awesome. Hey, I just want to, I think the positive, I mean, I'm with Gabe. I think I'm happy with the win. I'm upset with the play. I think my positive of yesterday was we didn't miss a kick yesterday. I thought that was excellent. And then I think my negatives were, I think one is catch the ball. You know, I mean, you look at Jordan's numbers. He was, what, 16 of 25? But, I mean, granted, Jaden Reed made an incredible catch. But he also dropped one of his hands. And Dontavian Wicks, you know, dropped a couple that also hit his hands. So, like, his numbers, if you want to talk about, you know, statistics up there with the greats, I mean, he could have been 19 of 25, 20 of 25. You know, even though he did make a couple bad decisions. So I think catch the ball is a negative for me. And then the second one is our pass rush. And I'm interested in your guys' thoughts on what is Rashawn Gary and Preston Smith doing? And you guys were just talking about paying, you know, A-plus money to C-plus players. Like, where is Rashawn Gary in that equation? And does it seem like when he's rushing, he's kind of taken himself out of the play? Like he's rushing a little too high, and when Stafford's really just going to step up, you know, in the pocket. I'm just interested in what your guys' thoughts on what's Rashawn and Preston doing that's not giving them the success that we expected.
I mean, for me, Preston Smith has been Preston Smith. Yeah. Of all the defensive linemen, I think Preston Smith is the one I'm least offended by because I'm not expecting him to be great. He's had a couple of sacks. That's all he's going to do at this point in his career. He's just going to be a solid guy over there. But if we're talking about Rashawn Gary's play, through five games, I mean, he's not even a C-plus player. I mean, we went through last week. The one thing that he was always really good at was getting pressure. He is below average. Like the average NFL pass rusher, he is below that in generating pressure. And we're probably going to get, you know, another excuse from the coaching staff for this upcoming week because you're going to be taking on Kyler Murray. And that was the excuse we used the first 2 weeks. Well, we're playing a rushing quarterback. We can't fully unleash the pass rush because we just kind of have to mush rush, make sure we keep the quarterback in the pocket. But I don't know what Rashawn Gary is doing. He doesn't have anything other than his bull rush. He has no move to go to, and it just seems like whoever's blocking him has an incredibly easy job.
Just a little bit of stat boy housekeeping here. I believe that Jordan Love was 15 of 26 for 224. As for the drops, Dontavian Wicks has been the guy who has been most guilty of that. There were 3 bad drops last week. I believe there were 2 more egregious drops in this game. He was targeted 7 times, guys, came up with it twice. That's an issue. And on a day when Christian Watson is out, Romeo Doubs is out for various reasons, that was an incident where Wicks needed to step up. Wicks has got to get this figured out. Gabe, I'm concerned, if I'm talking about the things that do concern me, with the penalties that the Packers continue to make week in and week out. I kind of thought that was an early season thing. Now, you could make the argument it is still early season, so they have time to get the penalties cleaned up. But that is one. But the dropsies is very problematic. That is something that I am concerned is going to hurt this team. Some of these things, they don't hurt them, right? They're mistakes. For instance, I still say that pass that that Jaden Reed somehow miraculously pulled in with 3 mm-hmm. defenders around him at the goal line. I don't know if I wanted him. I know I didn't want him to make that play. And Matt LaFleur said similarly after the game. But it didn't really hurt them. The drops, I think, are going to hurt them down the road.
Unfortunately, that might just be part of Dontavian Wicks' sophomore season. I think Dontavian is still going to be very good going forward because, again, we keep looking at the style of Pro Football Focus. 80% of the routes he runs, he ends mm-hmm. up open. Like, that's very good, and that's very hard. Devontae Adams had problems with drops in his second season. Not saying that eventually he's going to be, you know, on a Hall of Fame track, but, I mean, it could be something he just deals with this season. We have to deal with it. And be patient with it, but it is hard to be patient when you're without 2 of your other 4 guys. On the flip side of that, yeah, I know Jaden Reed had a drop yesterday. Jaden Reed's playing like a top 5 wide receiver in this league.
Correct.
Like that's...
I want to be clear. Do drops happen? Absolutely.
Yeah.
But the pace with which Dontayvion Wicks is dropping the ball is what appears problematic. That's what appears like this could be a thing. I think I read online that he has been targeted 20 times over the last two games. He
has
7 receptions.
13 last week and 7 this week, yes. 20 times. Because he gets open. Also, I mean, was the last play, is that a drop on him?
The one where he had to jump? Like,
yeah.
It went through his hands.
It was also, it got deflected. It got deflected, though.
But also, if Jordan Love leads him, he just runs under it
correct.
And keeps running for a touchdown. Like
thing that was
is.
On Love.
I think that was, Love could have put him in a better spot, yes. I mean, are you going to hit every receiver on the deep ball perfectly in stride? No. But if you put that, it was kind of some of the things we saw first half Jordan Love last year of not putting the ball out in front of his receivers enough on those deep balls, and he had to slow down and try to back shoulder it with a defender on him. When he could have, if it's out in front, he's able to go and make a better play on it.
Wicks is one of those cases, and I fell into this trap. You mentioned Davante Adams. A guy that gets open that much is a guy that's going to keep seeing the ball. Unfortunately, it might be an issue that carries on through the season, like you said. Like, he might not rectify this year, and there's going to be a lot of missed target and missed opportunities. I think Packers fans have to sort of pump the brakes. I started seeing you're not going to see the field, or you're not, like, a guy that gets open that often and is creating that much separation is just a guy you have to play.
Okay, but at some point, do you then, excuse me, at some point, do you then criticize Jordan Love if he continues to go to a guy who is not reliable?
Like, if he's open, he's open.
100%. But here's what I will say. If you're Jordan Love, you don't want your quarterback having that split second of, should I throw it to that guy who catches the ball, what are we talking now, 20% of the time? Or should I throw to a different guy who is, you know, 60% completion, even if he's in triple coverage? You know what I mean? Like, you don't want your quarterback having to make that decision
and
in those split seconds.
I don't think Jordan's going
to
do that.
I'm not saying right now, but I'm saying if this trend continues, you're going to have, to your point, Dontayvion Wicks wide open because he gets separation, and you're going to have Jordan Love in his head in those split seconds going, yeah, but that's a 20% completion, where over here it's a 60% completion, even if Jaden Reed is covered by two guys.
I think Jordan's going to continue to throw to the open guy. I don't think he's going to care who it is. Even if the drops continue. Again, I think Dontayvion, yes, it was 7 targets yesterday. It's not like he dropped 5 passes.
But I disagree that doesn't start to creep into your consciousness. I disagree that you don't start to go, is that a smarter play given what we know? These are all data points, right? We talk about this all the time with everything.
Yeah.
You can't sit there and ignore the data points.
What I'm saying is, of the 20
targets
he's had the last 2 weeks, it's not like every incompletion's been a drop. Like, some of those are bad passes. Some of those are wide passes. Has he had drops? Absolutely. But Jordan also needs to, you know, again, I think Dontayvion only had one drop yesterday. I'm not putting the last one on him. So you got to be more accurate when you're throwing to Dontayvion Wicks.
I do think it's clear now pretty evident that the reason he was fourth is because of those inconsistencies in that depth chart. The Packers are making a decision on who they're comfortable with and who's going to be consistent. And now we're seeing, well, yeah, he's open, but he's not making the catches all the
time. Are you sure? Well, because remember when I tried to make a case that maybe they were trying to hide him on the depth chart? They were like, he's going to be their number one receiver, but don't tell anybody. Let's put him fourth on the depth chart and surprise everybody with Dontayvion Wicks.
I think it's one of those things, too, where because he gets open so often, even if he drops a couple, who cares?
Yeah.
Because, it's a 60% completion over here, but this guy's not getting open all the time.
Yeah.
You have a guy who gets open all the time, like, it's just going to... It's going to be better for everybody going forward.
800-990-3776. Zach says a win on the road against McVay, regardless of how injured they were, is a good win. Green Bay was also without Watson, Dobbs, Jair, and Wyatt, all big-time contributors for this team. When you layer in the Dobbs distraction and a trip across the country, as it relates to Jordan's completion percentage, he had another 3 or 4 drops that would have extended drives and increased his completion percentage. This team will be fine. I guess we got to get to the Dobbs thing, huh? It's been this big old elephant, this Alabama elephant hanging out in the room. Dobbs not playing. Dobbs suspended by the Green Bay Packers this weekend. We'll get to that right after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You've probably heard about employee stock ownership plans before, but what separates Fifth Third Bank from others when it comes to these plans? A succession plan that benefits business owners and employees from full and partial sales, second stage transactions, repurchase obligation financing, and seller note refinancing, ESOPs can offer tax advantages, increased liquidity, employee incentives, and overall diversification of net worth to help your company plan for the future. Fifth Third Bank National Association, custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Ryan and McGuanago weighing in. Hey, if you find something that sucks for 25 years, you hold on to that.
Yeah, that is very good point.
Because usually the sucking only happens before you get married, and then the sucking just stops.
We're going to get fired.
Yeah. On 94.5 ESPN.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to our conversation tomorrow. So I fully anticipate him coming back, and I'm hopeful that he'll come back and get ready to work. And, you know, like, distractions happen in the National Football League. Distractions happen in life. And you got to do your best to just focus on the task at hand. And I thought our guys did a pretty good job of that.
Back here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, what the hell's going on with Romeo Doubs? What is going on with Romeo Doubs? There was a report late last week, headed into game weekend, that he is frustrated with his usage and he didn't show up to practice. I believe it was Thursday and Friday.
Correct.
And meetings on Thursday and Friday. So this wasn't like a physical thing of like, I can't practice, but I can attend meetings as we prepare for the Los Angeles Rams. No, he didn't go to meetings or to practice on Thursday or Friday. Unhappy with his role in the Packers passing game. This was shocking to me. I did not see this coming. I don't know that anybody saw this coming. We have not gotten word. There has been no indication. This is not on a resume of Romeo Doubs that says he is a disgruntled guy. He is a malcontent. He's the type of guy who is counting catches. But apparently, and again, we can only go off of what we have. Apparently, we were wrong. Here's a guy who allowed his frustrations to have him make very poor decisions, which is not showing up for your team on Thursday and Friday, headed into a big game on Sunday. And the team then subsequently punished him with a suspension. And Matt LaFleur mentioned they are going to talk today. Maybe this whole thing gets ironed out. I am optimistic, which seems to be the theme of the day, Gabe, that they will work this out. Because Matt LaFleur, for all the things that we joke around about or criticize with him, he is a player's coach. He falls on the sword for them, takes the blame, even when he is not to blame in situations. And I believe in this situation, similarly, he will sort of see where Doubs is coming from to his face, and they will figure out a way to get him back out on the field. That's what I am optimistic about. Do you feel similarly that this situation will be a one-weekend situation and not a season-long development?
I want to, but again, everything I know about Romeo Doubs is now into question. Because of what happened last week. When I saw initially, oh, he missed Thursday for personal reasons. Okay. And then you see he missed Friday before the Huber report came out from Sports Illustrated. Oh, he missed Friday again for personal reasons. And LaFleur was like, yeah, it's day to day. We're not quite sure if he's going to be available. At that point, you're thinking, because again, at this point through two seasons and four games, Romeo Doubs has been nothing but an exemplary teammate. You're going, man, I hope everything's okay. And whatever's going on with Romeo is, you know, hopefully, you know, if he plays Sunday, he doesn't play Sunday, I hope everything personally is okay with him, whatever he's dealing with. And then the report comes out that his limited role in September was the root of Doubs's frustration. That coming from Bill Huber. So now everything I know about Romeo Doubs, I don't know. I don't know anything about Romeo Doubs.
So this
I'm with you. I hope it's... you know, resolved. But if you go back and listen to that clip, LaFleur goes, oh yeah, we'll get this resolved. Well, I hope we get it resolved. Like, he even hedges halfway through that clip.
So there's a lot of things going on here, and I do wish that Chewy was with us. We will have to revisit this tomorrow when he's here. But Chewy warned us against this. For every moment that we were sitting here singing the praises of a five-headed monster, sitting here going, this is going to be so great. You never know who's going to be the guy on any given day. Chewy was like, hey, pump the brakes, because players have egos, and those egos often lead them to wonder, why not me? Why am I not getting the ball? I should be getting the ball. And every time I don't get the ball is a opportunity for the team to give me less money going forward, or another team to give me less money. And so even though he's not here, I do think that we have an obligation, Joshy, to, you
know. Chewy was right. Holy
Chewy was right.
It's not the same unless I get to see his dumb little face smile.
His little giggle.
You know what? We could do it again tomorrow. You know, when he's back from his vacation. There are people on the talk and text line wondering if he is okay, since we haven't heard from him in quite a long time. Yeah. As far as we know, he is okay.
So we got another text over the weekend declaring the Brewers chokers. So, yeah. You know, we had that. So we have had very limited communication.
But communication, nonetheless.
Yeah, it's come through.
He seemed to just pop his head out whenever there's a dance on our graves to make us feel a little worse, to knock us down a couple pegs. The interesting thing about Romeo Doubs is he wasn't particularly left out of the offense.
No!
Which makes it even more confusing of a thing. Like, Malik Willis played two games. There wasn't a lot of passes to go around.
Well, and it's not like he was trailing. So through four games, Reed and Wicks had 22 targets. He had 20.
Right.
It's not like it was a huge gulf. It was two plays in four games.
Yeah, it almost seems like, and we're trying to figure this out, but it seems like he's not happy enough with, like, they're not, he's not a focal point. He's not above and beyond everyone else. He's like in a tier of three guys, which his production just hasn't been there.
Okay, so this is what I want to go back to Chewy, what Chewy has said. Remember, Chewy always tells us a story of how when he didn't get targets in a game, what did his coach always do? What did Holmgren make sure to do?
Gotcha this week.
Gotcha this week. Gotcha next week. We gotcha. So there's a part of me that wonders if those conversations are not taking place of, because again, guys, I don't want to sit here and make Matt LaFleur blameless. Okay. If you've got a player who is marinating in frustration and they are gnashing their teeth and they don't want to be there and stuff, you got to know that. You got to recognize that and you got to nip it in the bud. You got to get in his face and be like, hey, I've noticed that you are lagging on some of your routes. Is everything okay? Oh, okay. It's not okay. Okay, well, what?
But what if he wasn't lagging on his routes? What if there was really no sign until he didn't show up Thursday?
Was there really no sign? Aren't there some things that Romeo Doubs have done? Didn't he throw his helmet or something like that? Threw up his arms on an interception off of Musgrave a week or so ago? Like, yeah. There have been things where he has been showing frustration on the field.
And to add to that, that was the route that Matt LaFleur said he ran the wrong route. And the fact that the day of install was the first day he missed and no-showed feels like he was not happy with either him going to them and him saying, like, hey, why aren't I a bigger factor, and them not then translating that, or he just wasn't happy with what the plan was.
I mean, I don't even think the conversation, like, why would LaFleur have the conversation with the guy who's got the third most targets on the team? You know, in terms of, oh, hey, I didn't get you last week, because they did.
Yeah.
Like, he was getting, I mean, two of the four games that he has played in, limited opportunities because they weren't going to throw the ball a lot with Malik Willis.
Because that's what being a leader requires.
Yeah.
Honestly, and I understand what you're saying. You're like, unless it was egregious, unless it was in Matt LaFleur's face that this guy's having a tough time, that this guy is frustrated,
he might not
recognize it. But the point is, somebody needed to, because you don't let something like this, look, personalities, there's a wide gulf of personalities, and you cannot allow one guy's personality quirks to sideline the whole team, to undermine the whole team. This was the perfect week for Romeo Doubs to be a focal point of the offense with Christian Watson out. And he obviously he let his emotions get the best of him. I am not saying he is blameless. I am not saying Romeo Doubs handled it perfectly. I'm saying somebody needed to recognize that this guy was starting to fray a little bit, and somebody needed to say, what's going on over here? Hey, how can we help? How can we make it better? Oh, you haven't been getting the ball as much as you'd like to? We're going to fix that going forward. Can't promise that we're going to do it right now. Can't promise it'll be this week.
But why would you fix it going forward? Like, what? There's nothing there to fix.
I'm saying,
there's nothing. So just lie
to him?
Even
if you disagree that it's a problem, he clearly thinks it is. And part of leadership is recognizing when, even if you don't think something is a problem, how could that person perceiving it to be a problem unravel the whole operation?
That's easy. Then you just cut or trade him. If that's what it's, because I'm just looking at the pure numbers. If he's like, oh, I need the ball more, man. Like, okay, we'll get you two more targets and tie you with those guys over the next four games. Like, half of a target a game is what we're talking about. Half of a target. And if he's going to be that upset, then, man, you can't be here. You can't be a team player. Now, maybe he gets it back together. Maybe we get more information about this. But, dude, There are plenty of teams looking for an extra wide receiver because they're injured at that position right now. Not that the Packers would get a first-round pick or a day two pick for him right now, but to me, if that's what it comes down to, of, oh, I need the ball more, because you're not that good. Are you a good player? Yeah. Are you a number one in this league? No. Jason has said it how many times, comparing him to James Jones? James Jones could never be your number one. You can have a really good NFL career. You can have a really nice NFL career as James Jones, as a 2/3. But you're not good enough where you need to be demanding that many more targets than Jaden Reed and Dontavian Wicks. I mean, we've gone over the bona fides of those guys. Wicks gets open 80% of the time. Jaden Reed is top 5 right now in the NFL in receiving yards. What are the bona fides of Romeo Doubs? What's he doing that separates him from all these other guys that he should be demanding the football more, to the point where he's not showing up if he doesn't get it?
Well, he and Jordan Love worked out together in the offseason. I don't know if you remember that. That should go somewhere on the resume.
Said they'd triple cover him.
We're working. Yeah, we're working.
We also heard about Rashawn Gary and how unstoppable he was in preseason.
We're working over here on the Romeo Doubs defense team. I don't know if you picked up on that.
I hope they work it out. They're a better team with him, without a doubt. But they're a better team with the guy that shows up and is willing to work as part of the team.
And I will say this. It would have been easy for the Green Bay Packers, Brian Gutekunst and company, to ignore this and not discipline Romeo Doubs for conduct detrimental to the team. That would have been easy, especially you go, we don't have Christian Watson this week. We're going to need Doubs to beat the Rams. And they said, nope. Can't let this type of behavior continue. Cannot allow him to turn the tide. Cannot allow other people to believe that this behavior doesn't go unchecked. And so they did. That was a tough thing, right? Because other than the report that was out there, they could have ignored it. Could have just let him get back out on the field and be a member of the offense and done what they've been doing for weeks.
Yeah, but the team, everybody in the locker room knows. And you got it much like...
That's why I'm saying
much
they
like,
had to do this. I'm sorry. It was a good thing that they did it, because outside of the locker room, no one really knows that. We still don't know the specifics. But you could have said, not this week. This week, we need to win a game. This week, we need him out there in order to win a game, so we'll handle it next week. We'll tack a punishment on to this week's something.
But, I mean, again, especially after what we saw last year and how they handled Jair. I mean, that was a big game that they needed Jair for, because they were in we-have-to-win-out mode to make the playoffs. Still suspended Jair late in last season. Yeah, it would have been nice if he was out there, but they've shown that they will handle it. Of, I don't care who you are, you do something like this, we have to suspend you. We have to send that message to everybody else that, hey, this, it's not acceptable. And I don't know. I know that in the statement, Gutekunst expressed optimism. I know LaFleur expressed optimism yesterday. I hope they're right. But also, I feel just in that situation, they almost have to express optimism in order to get this actually done. A lot of this relies on Romeo Doubs. And if he doesn't feel any different, he's not showing up for practice on Wednesday. He didn't show up Thursday, Friday. Maybe he comes to his senses and comes back. I don't know. I honestly have no idea how this plays out.
800-990-3776. Lots of reaction rolling in. Ryan says, if CeeDee Lamb or Justin Jefferson acted this way, I would kind of understand. But Doubs is a 2-3 wide receiver at best. I hope everything is okay with him and he's back, but the situation is mind-boggling. Ron in the Key says, I think Doubs has played his last snap for Green Bay. I think he gets traded. Brandon making the connection in the 920 saying, Rodgers didn't talk to Doubs, but he sure gave him the diva bug. Kind of like it. And then didn't know about the targets. It doesn't make sense. I could see if Musgrave would ask for the ball more, but not Doubs. That from Andrew in the 608.
It kind of feels like a guy who just realized he's the third best option of those like route runners there. Because Christian Watson's a whole different animal than the other two. Mm-hmm. But when it comes down to it, who's open the most and who's productive the most? So far, we've seen the two other guys. And it's not simply because they're getting more targets, as Gabe showed us.
But
seems like you're the third best option.
What a short-sighted, immature,
remarkably,
allegedly, because again,
right,
we know what we know, position to take. Like, roles exist for a reason. Mm-hmm. You know, again, we have touted the greatness of having a lot of wide receivers and not necessarily a number one de facto wide receiver. And yet we always thought that a number one would emerge. And I believe we are seeing Jaden Reed taking that spot as the number one wide receiver for the Green Bay Packers, a favorite target of Jordan Love. But man, if you're around football as long as you've been and you don't understand that everybody is eventually going to get slotted where they go, you're just obtuse. You just don't get it. It's how it works in everything. Our show, we got roles. You do this. You do all the things. I do minimal things. Chewy does the minimalist thing.
He just shows up.
Right. That's his role.
Yeah.
You know, we all sort of go, it's fine. We'll take a break. Be right back after this.
It's 1 week to deal at Ewald Automotive Group. Shop 500 quality pre-owned vehicles with rates as low as 4.9% on their best used vehicles with 10 locations, all inspected and ready for winter. I hate that word. Winter? I guess we're in October. I guess we got to talk about it. Yep. But so you want to make sure your vehicle's ready for winter. Ewald Automotive Group has you covered. Plus, they are going to pay top dollar for your trade-in. Don't miss out. Make a deal through today at 2 p.m. Customers receive up to $20,000 finance for up to 28 months. See dealer for details. Expires October 7th.